It's time for the all-new Gervie's Law, cross-examining the ages, with your host, Alan Gervie, and introducing your co-host, Michelle Lobato. Alan is the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 40 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. And of course, sitting with me here in studio is the wonderful Michelle Lobato.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were watching all the Olympics and you're just taking a break now to talk something that...
More sports.
More sports?
Yeah.
You didn't watch any of the Olympics, did you?
Again, just the figure skating, ice skating.
That's it. Well, yeah. Being a very proud Canadian, I watched with bated breath the Olympic gold medal game between Canada and the U.S. in hockey.
And how did we do?
You don't know.
No.
It has not been in the news, so I'm going to announce it for the first time here in North America. The United States won the gold medal.
Nice. Go America.
How did you feel about the 3-on-3 in OT?
What?
Don't worry about it. So I grew up playing hockey, as did our guest today, and I played football, basketball, and also a lot of baseball, and I only played one season of soccer. It was the fall season, and that year it was in middle school. It was a very early winter in Winnipeg, and the snow fell, and we only played one game in the season. One game, and in that game, we won 1-0, and I scored the only goal.
Wow.
And what happened was we had an awards banquet after that, and every team had a most valuable player, and they got a big trophy with, you know, if it was baseball, it would be baseball player, or basketball player. In this case, the soccer trophy had a soccer player on it, and I was honored to win most valuable player on that soccer team, having played one game, scoring one goal, having no idea what I was doing on the pitch, but I ended up winning the trophy. And I'm very excited and honored that I kept that trophy, and it's part of my many trophies that I have. I have a soccer trophy. Our guest today has a lot of soccer trophies.
Oh, I'm sure.
Unbelievable. And hockey trophies as well. And by the way, remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Scott Hamilton, that we were going to have Scott Hamilton on the show, who was probably one of the greatest American figure skaters of all time. And unfortunately, Scott couldn't make it because of commitments after the Olympics. So instead of having one of the greatest figure skaters of all time, we are so honored to have one of the greatest soccer players in American history on our show today. Now, he was an amazing soccer player in, this is before you were born, in the 90s.
Whoa, what a time that must have been.
Whoa, yes, two FIFA World Cup appearances, and of course the big one in 1994. He also was the first American. Now, I know you're into European culture and life.
Absolutely.
I know. What am I wearing, by the way?
A French jersey.
A French jersey.
Yeah.
What does
you're
it say on the back?
Mbappe.
It's my only soccer jersey I have. I would be wearing a Hellebuck jersey, which I have, but that's something for another day. He was the first player, American, to play in Italy's Serie A, or A, if you're Italian, as a member of the Calcio Padova. I'm not really good at Italian. He speaks Italian. He also played with a number of teams in the MLS. You know the MLS because we had Alan Rothenberg on, who was one of the founders of MLS, and he was most notably with the Los Angeles Galaxy. He retired in 2003, became a general manager in the MLS, and he is currently a Fox Sports analyst. And what are we looking forward to with Alexi Lawless?
Well, we are 100 days away from the World Cup.
And who are we going to listen to?
Alexi Lawless.
Lawless. It's not La La Land. We had the founder of La La Land on our show a few weeks ago, but this is something very different. He was the commentator and reporter at the 22 World Cup in Qatar, and now we are going to hear him. And without further ado, one of the greatest soccer players of all time in America, Alexi Lawless, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Wow. Wow, that was one hell of an introduction. Thank you, Alan. Condolences, Michelle, for all of the sports that you have had to endure and the sports stories that you have had to endure.
Thank you.
But we do live in interesting times, both on and off the soccer field, as we, you know, barrel down the pike here towards the World Cup and the return of the Men's World Cup. Last time, like you mentioned, back in the previous century, 1900s, before Michelle was around. lot of hair ago, and it was wonderful, but we're going to do it bigger and better. It will be the biggest World Cup in history with 104 games, 48 teams, three countries, our friends to the north, Canada, and our friends to the south, Mexico. So there's a lot in the offing when it comes to what this summer is going to celebrate, not just the World Cup, obviously, also the 250th birthday of what I feel is the greatest country in the world. So,
wow.
A lot to be excited about.
And I have to tell you, you're excited about it. We're all excited about it. What I'm excited about, in my last 12 years of doing this show, I've had about 450, 470 guests on. I have never had a guest who has more energy than I do. And now is the day. Today, 100 days before the World Cup, we now have a guest who has more energy than Alan Gervie. Congratulations, Alexi.
Hey, look, if I'm not excited about it, then why should the viewer be excited about it? And, you know, you mentioned, you know, my work at Fox. I started at ESPN and then I've been for Fox now for over a decade. And I love what I do. They can pry it from my cold, dead, redheaded hands, and the young'uns are coming. But I want to keep doing it. And I can't wait for this summer. And look, you know, part of it, there is a gospel aspect of it and bringing people into the tent. And I want people to feel the same excitement and passion for it, whether you're into it or not. It's a simple game. It's a beautiful game. And when you do get into that soccer tent, and there's nothing better than a World Cup to bring people into that soccer tent, we recognize that everybody's going to stay. But some people are going to get a taste test. And some people are going to stay. And to this day, I'm going on 56 years old, and there's still people, when I'm walking down the street, they'll come to me and say, man, remember that summer of 1994? It changed the way that I think about soccer. It also changed the way that I think about soccer relative to my own country. And we can do that again for a whole nother generation. So many, many years from now, when, you know, Michelle is off and running, Alan, you and I are wherever we are, a generation can look back to the summer of 2026 and say, hey, that was awesome.
You know, one of the things that Alan Rothenberg talked about was back in 1994, he and the other organizers took a big risk by putting soccer in some of the biggest venues throughout the country, like the Rose Bowl and some of the in Houston, and the spectators came out in droves, and they had no idea. When you were growing up in Michigan and you started playing soccer, what, in the seventh grade or whatever, to take a break from hockey, did you ever think that these huge venues would be filled with people when you probably went to the corner field and, you know, your dad was hard working away and you were just kind of playing the game because it was fun?
Yeah, I mean, as the saying goes, you come a long way, baby. And we certainly have as a soccer-playing nation. And so, but first off, don't ever apologize for what we are or we aren't. And don't let anybody tell you that we are not a soccer culture. Yes, it's different. Yes, it's unique, but it's robust. It's passionate. It's discerning. But you also have to have a little perspective. And sometimes we kick ourselves for what we aren't as a soccer nation. But I also think we have to pat ourselves on the back for how far we have come. And you mentioned, you know, growing up. I grew up in the suburbs. You know, it was, you know, bubble yum and, you know, Slurpees and MTV. And the pictures on my wall were of hockey players and of musicians. And I didn't grow up within a ecosystem that was professional soccer. I loved it and I played it, but like you mentioned, I played actually at times a whole lot more hockey growing up, but I also did all the soccer that a lot of kids still do today, with mom and dad coaching and orange peels and juice boxes at halftime and all that kind of, and then onto travel teams. But I didn't grow up with the aspirational type of existence of playing in a World Cup. And there's a whole generation now that has so many more opportunities, advantages, and pathways right now. It warms the cockles of my old redheaded heart to see how far we've come and these opportunities that they have. I don't grumpy old man it by any stretch of the imagination. I am so proud and happy that they don't have to go through some of the stuff that we
do. Isn't it funny, Alexi, that you have to remind people about your redheadedness and your beard? Because when you look at the before and after pictures, you made a name for yourself with your look when you were on the pitch playing soccer, and now you look like you could be a lawyer, a corporate lawyer or something.
Well, I may have changed on the outside, but I'm still a mess on the inside. So it's a lot of hair to go, like
that.
You said, but you know, the interesting thing is, you know, nowadays, the young folks, if you will, they will talk about brands and athletes. You'll hear them talk about brands. Now, we didn't talk about it like that back then, but that's really what it was. I was cultivating a look that was, don't get me wrong, incredibly comfortable for me and genuine in terms of how I felt and who I was there. Again, it was the 90s and there was a whole grunge thing going on, but it absolutely played. And I knew, you know, I've always been a performer, and I recognized and respected and believed that it was just another way of performing. You know, I do a lot of music, and so I grew up doing a lot of performing and that kind of stuff. And so a stage is no different than a field. Your practice is no different than a rehearsal. And, you know, a crowd is no different than an audience. And also a costume, if you will, is no different than a uniform or the way you wear your hair.
Right. And you know what? I looked at your Instagram before this, and your bio is very spot on. Soccer analyst, Slurpee lover, and proud ginger.
Well, you know, there's less than 2% of us in the world. And what happens every year is that there are these articles that inevitably come out saying that the redheaded population of the world is dying off. Now, me and my wife are doing everything in our power to change that. but the reality is that it is heading in one direction. People will constantly send me these articles. But, you know, never has so much been done with a modicum of talent and a lot of scrunchies and hot oil treatments over the 90s.
How come you don't mention the gypsy? I mean, that's something else to have that kind of notoriety as a professional soccer player.
Well, I mean, look, as I mentioned, shout out to, the long deceased Mrs. Van Heusen. I, like a lot of kids, was sent kicking and screaming down the two blocks to Mrs. Van Heusen's piano lessons. And while I cursed my mom the entire time, it introduced me to something that has been a part of my life forever. And, you know, I did the whole garage bands and talent shows. And then, you know, I'm sitting here in front of a studio right now talking to you. So music has been a huge, huge part of my life. I continue to put out albums for all three of my fans, including my mom at times. And it's something that I love to do. It is something, like I said, it has lasted longer than me actually kicking a ball, and something that, yeah, there's a cathartic element to it. But, I love the process of, you know, creating a song and writing a song and recording a song and performing a song. And as I said before, I'm a performer. So music has been and continues to be a huge part of my life. Oh my goodness, look at that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
This is great.
This is good. We're rocking out here in studio.
Oh my goodness, look at this. Crank it up.
This is nice. I don't know why they had Green Day performing at the Super Bowl when should have been performing, because that is alternative, like, you cannot dislike.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's power pop, and you just put it in the car and pull the windows down and drive really, really fast and crank it up. So that's kind of what we do. You know, I grew up, like I said, in the 70s and 80s, and I'm a product of the MTV generation, and, you know, huge fan of, you know, whatever you want to call it, hair metal or glam metal. But then, you know, so I'd be listening to Rat and Van Halen and
Kiss, right,
and Bon Jovi and, you know, Def Leppard and stuff. And then I'd be listening to Tom Petty. And at that point, it would have been John Cougar, obviously John Mellencamp. But it started on the Beatles and the Stones and Zeppelin and all. And then, but, you know, then I'm listening to Duran Duran and, you know, all over the map when it comes to the influences and, you know, stuff that I love.
Now, the question is, what about your kids? Are they music lovers? And if so, do they listen to any of the music that you just referenced?
Well, for anybody that has kids out there, there is this moment in their upbringing when nothing that you could possibly say or do is even remotely cool. Thankfully, we've gotten through most of that. Not that I'm saying that they think that I do that anything I do now is cool, but you know, they tolerated me as, and they only knew me off the field, and they've tolerated my music. Yes, they are at times musical, but they also have kind of gone in their own way, and I'm so proud of them. And it's sometimes difficult for anybody at any time to raise kids, especially in this day and age with the technology and all that kind of stuff. But I'm happy to say, so far so good. We certainly have our ups and downs like anything else, but they are speaking of a brave new world. They are growing up in a very, very brave and interesting and at times confusing new world. So you hope you send them out into that world armed with as many skills as possible.
That's so interesting, because this morning when I was talking to my son, 13-year-old Hudson, and you are right, we are so different, and I was shocked when I told him who I'm having on our shows today, because we have another show with Lee Steinberg, super agent, and the inspiration behind Jerry Maguire and Alexi Lawless.
Sure, I know Lee, yeah.
He said, cool. He said to me, my teenager said that having Alexi Lawless on the show was cool, and Lee Steinberg. So there you have it. So many differences, but underlying it all, I think there's a common thread somewhere, and I'm sure you feel the same way with your kids. But let's talk about the World Cup. We have 10 minutes more, and we want to take advantage of having Alexi Lawless with us. First, let's talk about Group D. That's the U.S. group with Paraguay, Australia, and is it going to be Turkey, or who's going to be the fourth team that they can beat?
Yeah, we'll find out here in a few weeks. It's to be determined. There's six teams that haven't yet qualified. It's going to come from Europe. We just don't know who it's going to be. There is a possibility that it could be Turkey, which, by the way, is actually Turkey-A now. They've rebranded, speaking of branding and stuff like that.
We don't want to get political.
I know.
I mean, is it soccer or is it football in America?
No, soccer. Soccer. Lean into the soccer aspect of it.
Well, okay, you got to tell your buddy Trump about that. You make sure he understands that. Go ahead.
I know. I said never ever apologize for calling it soccer. actually lean into it. All right, yeah.
That's so, American
all right, here we go.
Pride.
There we go. Group D. Yes, exactly. All right, so Group D. United States, Paraguay, Australia, and a team to be named later. Keep in mind, there are 48 teams, and so obviously there are 12 groups of four. The top two teams automatically come out to the knockout round, and then some of the best third-place teams. Now, for this U.S. team right now, I would look at this group and I would say, you know what, if I have to put it back in history and compare and contrast, you should feel very, very confident about this team, not just getting out of the group, because, by the way, we've done that before. I'm saying win this group and then go on into the round of 32. And it's a new round of 32 because of the size of this tournament. And so you're going to face a team that you should beat. Now it's single elimination.
Right.
And then you go on for there. So while, we were talking about the hockey team, that was kind of a sprint. This is much more of a marathon with these 7 weeks and all of these different games. So there's going to be buildup. You're going to dip in. You're going to dip out. But ultimately, you should expect this U.S. team, in particular this U.S. team, that, like I said, has been given so much, we should have higher expectations, and they should do things that we haven't seen before. Again, a reminder to your listeners, the United States men's national team has been to plenty of World Cups. The actual United States national team has won groups at World Cups. The United States national team back in 2002 was arguably a handball away from going to a semifinal. So we want more. We want to see the U.S. men's team do what the U.S. women's team has done. It's difficult. It's actually more difficult,
but it
can be done, especially with the magic of a home World Cup.
So let us break this down a little more. I've heard you talk about Matt Freeze, the goaltender for the American team, and you question whether he's good enough. Look at what happened to your fellow Michigan athlete, Connor Hellebuyck. I've met Connor many times. He knows my kids from the Winnipeg Jets, and I'm very proud of him for winning the Medal of Honor as well. But can Matt Freeze turn into a Connor Hellebuyck?
Yeah, I said the other day over on the X Machine, someone was asking me, what the U.S. men's team, soccer team, can learn from the hockey team. And I mean, first thing that comes up is, no goalie, no party, right? I mean,
right.
So You got to have a good goalkeeper in all sports, and certainly in soccer. And the interesting thing is, historically, the United States has produced some really, really good goalkeepers. Jury's still out when it comes to Matt Freese, like you mentioned. I think he's the incumbent. I think he's going to start. If he does, I think also he'll be the first Harvard man to start in a World Cup. So that'll be interesting in terms of his intelligence, but ultimately he's there to save the ball.
Right.
And he has got to, and yeah, he's got to be able to do that. He's had a really good year and has taken that position. But until that whistle blows next summer, you don't know what is going to happen. But I am a living example of how a World Cup can change your life. I live the power of what a World Cup can do to an individual. It changed my life forever. It's an incredible platform, and you're doing it in front of a billion and more, sometimes more than a billion people. So if there was ever a point for Matt Freese to step up and make the save and be that hero that all U.S. teams need in goal, this is it.
And what about Christian Pulisic? Is he going to be the – first of all, is he going to be available, healthy, and – can you say, if he has a good cup, that he's going to be the greatest soccer player of all time from America?
Yeah, I think he's headed that way anyway, to be the best male soccer player in American history. Look, he has to show up, and for this team to do well, he has to show up. For people that don't know, he's been playing for a number of years now over in Italy, among other places in Europe. And like I said, just an incredible talent and really kind of a worldwide star. He needs to do it at the World Cup. And the interesting thing is, quickly here, when we were talking about brands, a lot of these players are playing and make a lot of money and are very famous outside of the United States. And there'll be a lot of people that are going to be introduced to even people like Christian Pulisic and their brand for the first time. And so I think it really behooves them to have good World Cups. And, you know, whether it's from a business perspective or just from a legacy perspective, a lot of people are going to say, hey, now I get why people are talking about him, but you got to bring it on the field. I think Christian Pulisic will do it.
And you have said some things that maybe Mauricio Pochettino, I can't even say that because it's such
an
Argentinian name. But yep. I will tell you, you have said that, is he up to the task? Do you feel that he can bring this team together?
So when he first took over about a year and a half ago, we know this is a short-term type of placement for a coach. He didn't have to go through qualifying because the U.S. automatically qualifies as a host. I was scratching my head trying to find the method to some of the madness. I am much more confident right now, much more bullish about Mauricio Pochettino and the decisions that he made, in that I can see some method to that madness. But ultimately, he's going to be judged when this team kicks off and when that whistle blows, and ultimately only on the World Cup. I think he's bringing a really, really good team that can do some big things, and he is being hired and paid a lot of money, $6 million a year or something like that, to do things that we haven't seen before.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's like the Supreme Court's, you know, attempt to define obscenity, right? What does success look like this summer? Well, I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it. And you will know it, and you will feel it in your heart when that team goes out on the field. Win or loss, you will be proud of what you see. That, to me, is ultimately success.
That's a great analogy for a legal show. I appreciate that. Quickly, I'd be remiss. I only have 1 minute to talk about this. We have 3 minutes left, but 1 minute. Canada, I have to ask, being a Canadian, Group B against Italy, Qatar, and Switzerland in Toronto, what does the great Alexi Lalas say about Canadian chances of moving ahead?
I love Canada for a number of reasons, not the least of which they're coached by an American, Jesse Marsh, up there.
Right.
So you got that going for you. Look, there's a possibility that first game, by the way, against Canada is going to be in Toronto against Italy. Not a great team to kick off against,
no,
even with their struggles right now. I like this Canada team. Again, Canada, Qatar, Switzerland, and then possibly Italy in their group. But again, they got to harness the Canadian spirit. And I know after what happened the other day on the ice, maybe the Canadian spirit's down, but you can revive and rebound, if you will, this summer for your Canadian men's national team, because they're going to need it, whether it's in group play or going on. But I think they get out of the group.
All right. Good prediction. Quickly, what about any controversies facing the World Cup in a few months? That's
we just saw what happened
show.
A couple
of...
No, I know, but a couple days ago we saw what happened down in Mexico, and the, you know, obviously we're Mexico has three venues, including a venue in Guadalajara. So, you know, security I think is a huge issue for all three countries. We want to make sure that people come over here, they come over here legally, they come over here and safely enjoy the World Cup, and then bring that message back. Certainly, our country could use as much of a positive message that we can get. And so that's going to be first and foremost, the organization, ticket prices. A lot of people talking about ticket prices and what's to be had. But I think this is going to be ultimately the most successful World Cup in world history, but also the most successful social event and cultural event in history, given the size of it and given the impact of it around the world.
I hope you're right, and you must be so excited being a Fox analyst. What are you looking most forward to for the World Cup in 100 days?
Look, we are going to make it as inclusive as possible and bring as many people into the tent for this, you know, like we said, 7 weeks that we will be on the air. And again, you might just dip in every once in a while, but when you come in, at least from my perspective, I'm going to hopefully be able to talk about things in an intelligent and an entertaining way and make sure that you are enjoying the game on and off the field. We're not going to spoon feed it to you, but it's a simple game. You'll figure it out as we go along. And ultimately, I want people to come together and unite on our 250th birthday and support not just this U.S. team, but this tournament that is a reflection on us around the world. Is it a potential for a commercial around the world? And we want it to be positive, and we need everybody's help to make it positive.
And Alexi Lawless will be spearheading that with all the energy, all the excitement. You've motivated me. I am looking forward to it, and I'm sure all our listeners are. Alexi Lawless, thank you so much for bringing your energy, your pomp, and your circumstance to Gervie's Law today.
Thank you, Alexi.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. All right, onward.
Onward. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. We'll see you again next week.